Welcome to Real Estate Profits. I'm Griselda, and today we're taking your business from busy to brilliant. You're watching Now Media Television.
Hello, and welcome to Real Estate Profits. I'm your host, Griselda Busliman, and this show is about giving you the tools, insights, and strategies to create lasting wealth through real estate. For so many people, financial freedom feels like it's a dream. And without a plan, it is guaranteed to stay just a dream. But today I'm joined with Kirk Jaffe, a seasoned professional in the real estate, mortgage services, and business consulting even. Kirk has helped countless investors and entrepreneurs transform their vision into reality by building strategies that create both stability and growth. Hello, Kirk. So glad you're here. Welcome to Real Estate Profits.
Good morning, Griselda. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so bringing that dream to reality is the topic of our first segment, how to build wealth with purpose and a plan. So in this segment, we're going to dive into how to do that and get tips and strategies from Kirk. Now, most people see it as intimidating, dangerous, but when you really apply some of the strategies and tips that Kirk provides, you can definitely build long-lasting wealth. Now, let's start with the first question here. And feel free to give us any strategies and tips that you feel are useful. Now, why do so many people dream of real estate wealth, but never really take that first step or are scared to do so?
Yeah, I think in America, especially today, the dollar value of real estate has gone up so much just in the last 5 years or so. And it becomes intimidating. Big numbers. A lot of people don't appreciate how to handle big numbers. Right. In my career, 25 years and, you know, multiple thousands of transactions, I got comfortable with it. And so I think one of the tips or strategies is, you know, look at the big numbers and work with them on paper. You don't have to commit right away, but you can get comfortable with big numbers, which will make the transaction when it comes in front of you, the opportunity, a little bit easier to handle.
Yeah. And I think you mentioned a key word is practice with it, right? So the numbers are big. There's a lot of transactions. There's a lot to evaluate. But, you know, with practice comes confidence and competence, right? So once you study that and you break it down, not only yourself, but with an experienced professional like yourself, then it becomes easier, right? Then it becomes like, oh, I can do this. All I have to do is take this step and this next step. So you know, I know in your world, you break it down baby steps at a time so that it's achievable, right? So that the people feel that they can do this. Now, what's the difference between hoping for success and building a real plan to get there?
Yeah, that's a good one. And you said it right, Griselda, you know, working with professionals that have the experience. You can go it alone, or you can save the 20-year learning curve by aligning with someone that's been where it is you want to go. And, you know, success leaves clues, and there is a path to success. And I think one of those paths is really writing down what it is that your goals are and understanding how much do you want to make in real estate? How do you want to make it? We run family offices over here in our advisory business. And so one of the things we're looking at are tax savings, ongoing cash flow, and legacy planning. And there, so you have to have, right, you have to have that path. And what is your primary interest today? Because it's going to change over time. I tell people when they're building a financial plan, it's like a chair. There's four legs, ostensibly, right? One leg should be real estate, another insurance, another business ownership, right? And another one, cash. And for me, cash is stocks, bonds, any, you know, CDs, any of that's all cash.
Yeah.
Together. So pick your leg and work on it. And then we move to the next one.
And you need all four legs, right? For it to be upright. So feel comfortable in the chair. I love that. But it's really good. You need all four, but you don't have to embark on the journey all four at a time, one at a time, and eventually you're very comfortable in your chair. Love that. Thank you for sharing that. Now, let's talk about building that roadmap. So you talk about, hey, we're here, that's our current state. We want to get here into that future state with specific goals that are yours and only yours. That in between could go so many different ways. That's what I call the roadmap. Give us some tips on how do you build that very unique roadmap that addresses their goals?
Yeah, the roadmap will make you crazy, first of all, because it is like you described, it is up and down and up and down. I tell people, you know, it's like trying to get from Los Angeles to New York on an airplane. You know where you want to go, but it doesn't mean that it might not get diverted. You were supposed to fly through Denver and you had to go through Dallas, right? So you're still going to get there. Don't be discouraged. And as long as you track your results, if you're trying to buy a piece of real estate, how many offers are you making on a regular, consistent basis? How often are you updating your personal scorecard, your personal balance sheet, right? And your financial statement. These are all basic tools and actions that over time will have a huge impact.
Yeah. And I think that's the key, right, Kirk? It's taking those steps, taking action, continuing to take action. And sometimes you'll take a step forward and you might take a couple steps back, but that's the learning opportunity. You learn something new that you're going to apply so you can do better in that next two or three steps, right? So now on that premise, let's talk about some of the small wins. What are some of those small wins that can help people build confidence early on in, you know, their real estate journey?
Well, the small wins are, I'd say, getting organized, you know, putting your package together so the lender can look at it or an investor. I've been working on raising up a fund, a large fund for real estate investment and lending and things like that. Things I've been doing for 25 years, and now I want my own fund. And so updating the presentation packages is a small win, because once you work it a few times and now it becomes solid, that creates a stepping stone and creates confidence in how we're presenting. So I would say, you know, look for those small opportunities to get organized. That's important. And then build your network. Every time you find a new person and build a relationship with them, that's a stepping stone. And that's not only a small win, that's actually a big win to me.
Yeah.
Because relationship, you know, good, what they say, go fast by yourself, go far with others, right? So we want to build a really strong relationship network, and that will make a big difference. So celebrate those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wholeheartedly agree with you. None of us, not a single one of us, has all the answers to everything, right? We learn from each other, we help each other out. And obviously when there's experts like you and your team, then we come to you for guidance, right? You've been there, you've done it 100 times. So your competence level is sky high, whereas others may not be, right? Because we're not into it day to day. But yeah, thank you for helping our viewers and for making it easy for anyone that wants to jump in there. And before you know it, after your second, third transaction, it's like a snowball effect, right? Things start rolling. And like you say, wow, now you're building your own fund. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is amazing. Yeah. But so now all of that comes to really fixing the mind on what we want to accomplish, right? What is that mindset? Now, let's talk about that. What is the one mindset shift that turns all of those dreamers into actual doers to accomplish their goals?
Yeah, you're right, Griselda. Mindset is hugely important because it'll propel us to success. It'll also keep us away from success, right? Our mind is a very powerful thing. And so it's reading. I read a lot of people that have gone in front of me. And I look at every transaction as its own experience. You said after you do a few, it gets easier. Sometimes it gets easier. We build competence. I've done many, many transactions. I'm doing one right now that has some situations that nobody has seen. Title companies, partners. I mean, combined, we have well over 100 years of experience as a team working on this one transaction. And none of us have seen this issue before. So, so it's, but that's part of that mindset. You know, be open-minded, learn, be willing to learn and grow. And don't be afraid to ask questions. I built my career at the very early stages asking people for help. And you don't have to be obnoxious about it. I get asked for help by some people that are like, can I have your entire blueprint for free? Your 25 years of experience. And I go, well, no, you can't have it for free, but I'll give you a tip here. Go in this direction.
Yes, absolutely. And not just that, but, you know, let's face it, right? These are services that you've built a career on, right? Over 20, 25 years. And so, no, they're not free. However, extremely valuable, right? So sometimes I look at them like, okay, I'm going to work with an agent or a broker, and they're going to charge me X percent. That is peanuts. Peanuts, that's pennies to the amount of money that has come my way, you know, transaction after transaction. So to me, it's a delightful service, right? They have the experience. I don't have all of that wealth and experience. Sometimes I don't even have the time. And right. So I'm just like, you know what, Kirk, you do all of that. Tell me where to sign, right? And of course, I'm educating myself along the way, but I have a business to run on my own, right? So it's not like I invest, absolutely, and I make wise decisions, but I do not have all the answers, like many of our viewers don't, right?
That's right.
So thank you for sharing all of those great insights. And we'll be right back, because many people think about debt as a bad thing, right? But it can actually help you build your wealth. And so more on that topic as we come back, more with Kirk Jaffe. See you soon.
We'll be right back with more ways to optimize, scale, and succeed. This is Real Estate Profits on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Griselda, and this is Real Estate Profits on Now Media Television. Let's keep building smarter together.
Hello, welcome back to Real Estate Profits. Now, if you want more of what you're watching, stay connected to Real Estate Profits and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime that you like. You can just download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming, English and Spanish. Now, if you're on the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. Any topics from business, news, to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Now I'm here with Kirk Jaffe, and in this segment, we're diving into a topic that scares many investors, and that is debt. Most people see debt as dangerous, but when used wisely, it can be one of the most powerful wealth building tools. Now, Kirk is going to give us some strategies as to how we can do that and make sure that we're not taken aback or overwhelmed by debt. Hello, Kirk.
Hey, Griselda. Great to see you.
Great to see you again. Now, why do so many people misunderstand the difference between bad debt and good debt?
Yeah, there's two ways to consider that. There's bad debt, good debt in relation to real estate investment. And there's bad debt, good debt in relation to your credit score.
There you go.
So yeah. You have revolving loans, which is like credit cards. You have installment loans, which is like buying a car. And you have mortgage loans, which is real estate loans and home equity loans.
Yeah.
So you want to blend them. But you want to understand that mortgage loans are actually the most powerful positive debt that you can get. So it's worth more than 30% of your credit score, the value of how you interact with your mortgage loan. Installment loans are going to be second most powerful, and credit cards third. So we want to stay away from those revolving cards, because those are designed to keep you in debt at 30%, you know, annual interest and compounding in a very terrible way.
And
installment loans are fine, right? It shows consistency of ability to make a payment. But mortgage loans is really where you want to spend your time if you're going to be a real estate investor. And there's great tax deduction. You can buy property in a corporation or a limited liability company or other legal entities, which empowers you to maximize the benefits of having that type of loan. So I always tell people, you know the difference between the good debt and the bad debt, and focus your energy on buying good debt.
Absolutely. Surround yourself with the good debt. And although it seems like overwhelming because the numbers are big, like you mentioned in our first segment, but that is okay. It's good debt, right? You're building your credibility as an investor. And so obviously with that comes wonderful things. So yes, I 100% agree. That's how, you know, my husband and I, as investors, we build our wealth doing that, right? Just focusing on not so bad. But you're right. Watch out for it, because credit card debt, right, it's not going to get you anywhere in terms of your real estate investment career. Now, how can the right kind of debt actually create wealth instead of destroying it for people?
Well, the first thing is, when you have the right kind of debt, you're going to pay less in taxes. So if you're structured correctly, if you're working with the right advisors, that's going to free up money. I can tell you a story we're working on right now. It's going to close today, actually. One of my clients, we set up a family office for him. And so we purchased several pieces of property in this past year. And two things happened. One, the properties went up in value even in 1 year. And so we were, and rates came down. So when we bought the properties in his corporate entities, he had a higher interest rate. So we refinanced them all. We did it at no cost. We were able to do it so that the banks paid 100% of all the fees. And that gave him $500,000 in rebate off the value of the property at no cost to him, and it lowered his monthly payments. So the rental income on those properties is going to now provide positive cash flow on top of the massive amount of money he took out. What's he going to do with that money? Well, he's not going on vacation. We're already lining up to buy a business with it and another piece of real estate. So we want to keep our money accelerating and flowing. And that's how using debt properly will create wealth. And it's an important concept to understand. Just because we get a big chunk of money, don't go on vacation with it necessarily. Business is the business, and money needs to stay in the business. And what we earn in other ways is what we use to consume.
So let's talk more about that because that, many people aren't fully aware of how that goes. In terms of when you have a capital gain, how do you reinvest it and protect it from spending too many tax dollars on it? So, can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, capital gains are the lowest level of taxable income. So those are the goals, right? We want to have all our money into capital gains. This is the Warren Buffett method. He earns all of his money owning companies and getting revenue from those companies in the form of capital gains, which is taxed at the lowest level. And he's openly said talked about this, in public many times. But any small investor can do it. You don't have to be Warren Buffett or even this, family that I work with. You just start somewhere, but keep very good records. The IRS always wants to know every dollar that's spent and where it was spent, and they want to see it on paper, even though we're not really in a paper world these days. We're in a digital world, but the IRS is still in a paper world. So you want to keep very good records of things. And it's a great way. And just remember, it's a mindset, like we talked about earlier. When you own property and you put a renter in it, the renter is paying the debt for you. So there is responsibility, and you may even have to put some of your own money in for the right opportunity. But over time, over 10 years, the renter is primarily going to pay off that loan for you, and now you get to own the property free and clear. And that's a very big asset to add to a balance sheet. And if you were to sell it and you sold it inside an LLC or some other legal entity, you would be able to benefit quite a bit from the tax benefits and the savings from that.
Absolutely. So I want everybody to remember that, right? The renter is paying that mortgage for you. So make sure that you're fully aware of all of those strategies. Now let's talk about leverage. What are some smart ways investors use leverage to grow their portfolios?
Yeah, well, mortgages are great leverage. I always tell people when you buy a house that you're going to live in, also put an equity line on it at the exact same time that you purchase it. Whatever you get, $20,000, $200,000, $2 million, it doesn't really matter. It's easier to acquire an equity line at the time of that you purchase property, especially if you want it. But once you have the equity line, you can use that money for anything you want. So it's there for you. You can use it to buy additional real estate. You can use it to cover repairs on a piece of real estate, which is a good way to do things because there are tax strategies around that. You can take money from your personal account because the equity line is personal liability, and it should be because you bought it correctly. And by the way, Griselda, let's just talk briefly. There's no funny business in any of this. Like, play the game straight. How many people are we seeing on TV right now that are being investigated for not playing the game straight when there was no reason for it? So eliminate that risk right away. Just don't do it. But
Absolutely.
right, But you can definitely take an equity line and use that money to repair an investment property if you need it. And then you create all the proper documentation showing that you lent the money from your personal accounts to your business accounts. And there's some tax benefits that can be obtained in that too.
Yes,
So.
absolutely. Absolutely. And thank you. Thank you for making it real and giving us those warning signs as well. Now, can you share a story where using leverage the right way made a huge difference?
Sure. Well, let's see. There's so many stories, first of all. I could tell you, well, let's start with using leverage the wrong way. In 2008, when I was working with, a lot of people in the mortgage industry were making a lot of money in 2007, 6, when the rates were coming down off the 9% heights and things like that. And a lot of people bought property that they had no business buying, and they leveraged it because there were 100% loans. You could do 100% loan to value at that time. And I know a lot of people that lost everything, but they took all that money and they bought cars and they went on vacation and they didn't put the money away. So that's a way to really blow it up quickly, is to over leverage and go and reach too far, right? So on the other side of it, the positive way to do it is slow and steady. We talked earlier about creating a plan and working the plan. And knowing that if you're building a solid chair that you're going to sit your financial future on, let's work one piece at a time and make sure that the pieces are integrating. So, for example, this client I mentioned earlier, it's a great success story. He's going to take equity out of a home and he's going to use it to buy a business, which will provide cash flow, which will cover all the expenses for his family. So even if something happens, if mortgage rates go up, if a renter stops paying their rent, if something, a roof fails, he has a backup income stream put in place to help cover that exposure. And that's an important way to think about running a real estate business versus just buying a property.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. Now, Kirk, I know you work with entrepreneurs and investors every day. So for those watching, where can they connect with you and learn more about your strategies?
Yeah, you could always connect with me at www.tallpines, and that's PINZE, tallpines.com. It's there on the board. Thank you. They're all there. You guys are amazing. You can call me anytime at that phone number or at the 818-469-2189 number, which is my direct cell phone for business only. Don't worry, you won't be bothering me. Call anytime. And that's the best place to get me. And also, in the future, I'll have a show here on Now Media. So always looking forward to having people tune into that and learning more. The topic of that show is going to be doing business in the digital marketplace and how it impacts all of us and pieces and parts that we need to know to succeed and not get into trouble. There's a lot of danger out there right now.
Oh, fantastic. And we'll definitely tune in for that. So, coming up next, we'll explore how to build wealth that lasts beyond market cycles, even when the economy is shifting. So, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more ways to optimize, scale, and succeed. This is Real Estate Profits on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Griselda, and this is Real Estate Profits on Now Media Television. Let's keep building smarter together.
Hello, welcome back to Real Estate Profits. One of the biggest mistakes investors make is chasing quick wins without thinking long term. So, in this segment, we'll talk about how to build wealth that weathers ups and downs in the market. Now, many of our audience members, they chase the short-term gains, and it often feels like they're gambling instead of investing. But we're going to talk about that. So, Kirk, what are the dangers of focusing only on quick wins in real estate?
Yeah, I see it often, Griselda. People do these fix and flip projects, right? And they don't really understand their numbers. The average fix and flip project generates between $40,000 and $60,000 of gross revenue, right? But by the time, and I say gross revenue, that's after you put in your repair costs. So you buy the property, you put in your repair costs. You sell the property, you've made 60,000 gross, say. But as we talked about earlier, you have a 6% commission to sell the property. or maybe you get it down to 3%, but there's a commission to sell the property somehow. There's
Right.
transfer taxes, there's title fees, there's escrow fees, there's all these different things that go into play, right? The
Yeah.
fees keep eating.
They
So you
build
start at
up, right?
60, right? You start at 60 in profit. Before you know it, you're down to about 40. Okay.
Easy.
Now you built it, you flipped it within 12 months. Now it's going to be taxed at regular income because in order to get capital gains tax rates, you have to hold an asset for at least 12 months. So if they flip and sell it, they're going to pay another 30% in taxes based on the $60,000 gain. So your net at the end of the day is really about $25,000. And I ask people all the time, is it worth the pain? Because it is painful to flip a property.
Oh,
You've
absolutely.
done them,
It's tons
right?
of work. Yes.
Yeah. It's a lot of work, and there's always something that happens that you didn't expect. A broken sewer line or a whatever, right? There's just
Right.
always something comes up.
Yes.
So this is what we're talking about is, is it better to get the $20,000 flip and make a little bit of money at the end of the day, or is it better to have a strategy where you're going for bigger projects, which have a different kind of stress associated with them?
Yes,
We
absolutely.
build bigger homes here at my company. We're building a $6 million home here in Lake Tahoe that we'll sell for, and we'll net probably $2 million of profit,
Great.
right? But because we're building it in an LLC, because it's going to take a couple of years, it's going to be a capital gains situation, not a taxable income situation. And because it's a bigger property, that's a big number. But I've been doing this 25 years, so I'm not suggesting you start out at that level. I'm
No.
just suggesting you build up to that level, right? Because I'd rather do one project in 2 years and make $2 million than do 10 projects in 1 year and make 200,000,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
Because those 10 projects will keep you up at night. It'll cause some, probably some hair in your relationship. It can be tough.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said earlier in one of the segments, it's really about knowing what your goals are, right?
Yeah.
That someone with experience like yourself can really say, okay, if that is really your goal, then that's not the action that I would take, right? And then you give them several options as to what they can do to go from where they currently are to where they want to be in the most successful way.
Right. And there are places to co-invest. There's a company I'm getting to know now that's building low-income housing in the Midwest, and they're
Okay.
doing it in a terrific way. They build using modular technology. I like to build using modular technology as well.
Great.
It's better for the environment. It's more controlled. It's just there's a lot of better things in it.
Yeah.
But this company, you can put a little bit of money with them, $10,000 to $50,000, and earn 10% interest. But what you also get is the experience of seeing a bigger company do something while you're making money, right?
Great.
It's not exciting, but it's that slow, consistent growth pattern that will lead to, once you learn what they're doing, then maybe you'll be ready when you get your money back in 2, 3 years.
Yeah.
And then you get your money back, maybe you'll be
Yeah.
ready to do the same project, smaller scale.
Yeah, absolutely. So learn as you go and then apply those learnings, right? Very, very important to take action based on what you've learned. Now, how can someone build a portfolio that weathers all these markets ups and downs?
Yeah, well, if you're building a real estate portfolio, look for diversity, like anything else, right? You can build, using that chair analogy again, you can build a chair analogy around real estate investing. Do I want apartment buildings and single family residences? Do I want land? Do I want cash flowing? There's tons of real estate opportunities that are affordable, meaning it doesn't take a lot of money to get into them. So look for diversity, some that produces cash flow, some that produces long-term appreciation, and work
Okay.
a plan and understand that over time you'll be where you want to be. And I would suggest if you're getting into real estate, it should be a minimum of a 5-year plan, probably better for 10, I would say.
Absolutely. And once you do that and you learn so much, right, and you build wealth with it, why would you not do it again, right? Why would you stop doing it? And it doesn't matter if you have a 9-to-5 job or anything, right? You know, my husband and I have had that, and we continue to invest in real estate, and it's done very, very well for us. You know, now let's talk about what I call, and it's probably a disease, short-termism. So on the flip side, what does it mean to think long-term like a true wealth builder?
Yeah, and it's a great point, Griselda. It's a great thing to think about. We want people to think long-term, and money compounding interest is the powerhouse of all wealth building.
Yes.
And there's lots of ways to create that. The Rockefellers created compounding interest by leveraging their family and putting life insurance policies on everybody in the family, which have been continuing now for well over 200 years. And they're one of the wealthiest families in the country, right? And continue to be. And that's called legacy wealth. That wealth is not going to go away. It's going to continue as long as people are in that family. It's always going to grow. It's never going to go down. Other ways to think about that is buying real estate or investing in real estate platforms. I put some of my money into digital development opportunities.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because I believe the digital age is here and coming.
Here.
I mean, what's happening with AI, right? There's no way around it.
No way around it.
Right? And it's only going to get better and more stable over the next 10 years. So yes. I put money, I didn't put money where I'm managing it. I put it with another money manager who only specializes in that sector. And they're touching all kinds of things. They're touching nonprofit. They're touching real estate valuations. They're touching lending. They're touching all kinds of areas. And I believe in them. And it's backed by a very prominent, wealthy person who's been doing it for a long time. So I put it with someone that we have a reasonable expectation that it's going to be okay, because he has a lot of experience, much more than I have. But I can't touch that money for 8 years. Once I put it in, it's there.
Right. So
do you believe that the sector, in this case, digital sector, is it going to be bigger in 10 years than it is today?
Right.
It's a simple thought, right?
Yes.
And so look for simple opportunities. Don't make things complex where they don't need to be complex.
Right. Absolutely. And in that point that you just made, you're not gambling your money for 8 years. It is more than likely going to be a solid investment, right? Because we know the writing's on the wall, right? It's loud and clear where everything is headed. So just stay ahead of that curve.
That's right.
Now let's talk about systems and planning to help protect people's profits. You mentioned AI, obviously it's out there, right? So we've got to use it to our advantage almost daily. I use it in our show, actually. We have AI cameras following us around. But how can systems and planning, how can they help protect people's profits? Tell us.
Yeah, it goes back to having that vision, right? So always start with the high level vision and then work down into the details. Mm-hmm. So if you know that you want to have X amount of revenue coming in from passive streams of income, real estate in this case, start planning for it. And then you can use the systems to track your results. What's tracked is what's going to succeed, right? Yeah. Things that we don't pay attention to end up kind of failing, right? Or just fizzling, I should say,
right.
Not failing. So use the tools. You know, there are great AI tools. Personally, I'm looking for one comprehensive tool. And I learned yesterday, as a matter of fact, there's something called, I'm happy to share this with anybody. We have access to this tool now. Mm-hmm. It's called a digital twin. And what they're doing is they're able to, through a series of questions, recreate how we think, so that AI is creating decision-making processes based on who we are and what we feel and our background and our history. And that's new. That's a little different than trying to find a tool online that's AI-based that's not really custom to what we need it to do. So make sure you're looking for the right tools. You said short-termism, you called it earlier.
Yes.
Trying to find that shiny object tool is not necessarily as good as just sometimes keeping it on paper, or finding a tool that's really comprehensive and tied in with your own vision.
Yes, absolutely. And nowadays, you don't even have to, I mean, you can even give it a document, or you can give it a website and say, based on the culture and values of this, organization, And then you ask your question, and it's amazing how it thinks like that organization, right? So there's so much power there. Well, thank you so much for all those insights, and we're gonna be right back. And up next, and you briefly mentioned it, the final segment with Kirk Jaffe is about creating a legacy of financial freedom. So don't go away, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back with more ways to optimize, scale, and succeed. This is Real Estate Profits on Now Media Television. And we're back. I'm Griselda, and this is Real Estate Profits on Now Media Television. Let's keep building smarter together.
Hello, and welcome back to Real Estate Profits. Now, don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you are. Now grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Now, if you prefer podcast, listen to Real Estate Profits anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. We're covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and so much more. Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within your reach. Now, in this final segment with Kirk Jaffe, we're looking at the big picture, legacy. Financial freedom isn't just about today's profits. It's about creating a future that cultivates profits and makes a difference for generations to come. Now, many people focus on their current goals or on the current year, and they often really forget about the legacy that they're leaving behind someday. So, Kirk, what does financial freedom really mean beyond money in the bank?
Yeah, well, it's we were talking earlier, Griselda, about the seasons. And as they flow, we're entering into winter season up here in Lake Tahoe, and then it'll be spring when things start to grow again. And so when you're thinking about legacy, and this is what I'm focusing all of my time on now, we do provide all kinds of tools inside this program. So the mortgages, the real estate, the businesses, these are all the tools that are used to create long-term legacy for families.
Yeah.
And it's really a wonderful thing when you start to think about legacy. What's most important to us? Where did we come from as we grew up? And where do we want to take that path? Because legacy can be viewed from where you're at today to where you want to go 50 years from now, or where you want your family to go. Or you could look at it from where you started on day one of your birth and where you want to drive going forward for your family and your legacy. And so we start to talk about things like nonprofits. We start to talk about things like legacy pieces of real estate that can stay in families for generations. We start to talk about educating and bringing in our children to run the businesses and to teach them how to carry on for their children and future generations. And legacy is really about a lot of what we talked about today, thinking about who you are, what your tolerances are, what your what is most aligned and important to you and your family. And then starting to build it and aligning with partnerships. So building family offices is what I spend my time doing today. And there's a lot of there are a lot of family offices out there. People sometimes hear the term family office and think, oh, you have to have $100 million. It's not true. You can build a family office with, you know, $500,000 of recurring income. The most important thing is building a platform that can sustain itself over a very long period of time and represent your personal goals and who you want to be for this generation and the next.
Wonderful, great. Now, sometimes people will say, well, easier said than done. So give us the how. How can real estate investors start thinking generationally about wealth?
Well, this is definitely something you don't want to do on your own. You would want to call someone like me that builds these things from scratch. If you're just if you don't have one already, right? So it can be complicated, but you once you understand the inner weavings of all the pieces and parts, it becomes less complicated and more exciting. The people I work with have reported to me that it's fun, that they look forward to it, they have their day jobs still, and they a lot of them make a lot of money doing whatever it is they do, doctors, lawyers, high net worth executives that are working 18, 20 hours a day, building companies for others, public stock companies and things like that, but they're not taking care of their own family. So finding someone that can build the platform and support the platform for you is important. And so you want to make sure that the person that you're working with understands corporate governance, understands finance, understands reporting, understands strategy and relationship building, because family offices also like to work with other family offices. So we talked about leverage earlier. So once you create your legacy in your family office, you can leverage that into bigger opportunities to help the world at large or your family and your legacy. Think about what Bill Gates did with the Giving Pledge. That's a perfect example of a family office that leveraged relationships to build a bigger opportunity to help the world with what was important to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And now on that note too, it's tell us about the importance of teaching family members and maybe children who may be in the teenage years or young adults, but give us more on how to build that legacy and teach the younger generation how to continue that.
I think it's absolutely essential. We've talked today a lot about the fear, the misunderstanding, the time it takes to learn how to be an expert in an area, leveraging other people's knowledge, right? Why not pass that on to children and future? Why not eliminate that fear for future generations of your family? And so I can give you the example. My son is 19 years old and is in college in the Midwest. And he called me on the first day he went to college. He said, "Can you help me build a business?" I said, "Of course." So now we're building businesses together and he's learning. And he's going to file at 19 years old his first individual tax return this year, which, right, you say, wow, it really is a wow, right? How many 19, 18-year-olds are filing their own tax returns? Usually you stay on your parents until you're about 26, right? That's kind of the history of the United States, the way it works in the contemporary world. So don't be afraid to learn it and then teach it. The kids want to learn and they trust their parents and their families. And it's a great way to build camaraderie within your family and also provide resources for children for the future, and they will continue to pass it on. And that to me is a hugely important, valuable opportunity that we have.
Absolutely. It's definitely fun as well, right? Because you're learning together, you're guiding them with the 25 years of experience that you have, but also important to fully immerse them in the process, right? To learn by doing. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How maybe your 19-year-old son or other experiences, but how do you fully immerse them so that they really get it and really learn it to see if they actually love it?
I learned that you have to be patient with that. I started teaching my son about collateralized debt lending when he was 11 years old, and he picked up on it really quick. Like, he really understood the concepts of it, but executing it or creating reality out of it was something that was hard for him. Like, at 11 years old, even up to 19 or 20 or 26, the human mind is not fully developed until age 26. So be patient with it. Expose them without expectation, and let them just sit in it. Today, he's created his own company, and like I said, he's always looking for new opportunities to help other people, and he's finding out what's important to him, whether it's social justice or helping families or debt lending or all the different things that he's been exposed to over the years are now starting to coagulate as he approaches at 26, but he still has 7 years to go before his brain is really going to be able to do something. But wow, imagine what these children are going to be able to do if you give them some early exposure. When it all comes together, they're going to do amazing things, and they're going to be the future leaders of this country. So it's a good thing.
Yes, absolutely. So now you've talked to us about Bill Gates, right? Talked to us about Warren Buffett and some of his strategies, obviously your own personal story. Now let's make it real for people. It doesn't have to be your own personal or one of these, famous names that are billionaires out there. Give us a story of an example of someone that you help, work through and establish and build that legacy.
Yeah, well, Jessica comes to mind. Jessica's about 45 years old and has really become the patriarch of her family. But she's an amazing worker. She very diligent, works very hard, is very trustworthy in the business that she represents as an
Okay.
executive. I say executive assistant, but she's not really. She's more like a executive make things happen on behalf of the CEO. She's bigger than that, right?
Okay.
So she's amazing. But she had to help her parents transition through their passing, and then her sister was very sick with a genetic disease and had to work through that. And so she didn't know what to do, but she wasn't afraid. And she and I came together, and the first day I met her, she was going through a divorce, and she was scared and didn't understand about buying real estate. And today she owns multiple properties. She has a whole very healthy stack of insurance policies. She and she has positive cash flow from all these things that allows her to purchase things that she likes to purchase. Jessica loves shoes in particular. She's always joking about it. But it's important. It makes her feel good, right? And she's traveling the world, and she's really gone from a situation of fear, absolute fear, like so many people have, and to very knowledgeable, very supported, and very successful. And those are the kinds of stories that I'm very proud to have been involved with.
Oh, absolutely. And you're definitely making an impact out there, really teaching people and then guiding them, right? Not really holding their hand, but teaching them all the strategies that have helped you, for a nominal fee, but totally worth it. Like I say, I know that's the experience that I've had. So now, Kirk, this has been incredibly valuable for our viewers. Thank you so much. Where can people follow your work and continue the conversation with you?
Yeah, you can follow me on LinkedIn. You just go into LinkedIn, look up Kirk Jaffe. You can also find me at any of the websites here or call the phone number, and I'm happy to get you connected and dialed in. We try and make ourselves very accessible, easily accessible. So if you type in Kirk Jaffe into Google, you're going to find the first four or five, six pages are all me. Click on any of them, it'll get you to where you need to go. And also, don't forget, starting later this year, early next year, we'll have our own show here on Now Media, where you'll be able to talk and listen about how the digital marketplace has changed and how it's impacting all of us in how we do business today.
Wonderful. Well, Kirk, thank you so much for sharing such powerful insights with us today. You've reminded us that real estate isn't just about properties and profits, it's about purpose, planning, and leaving something behind that truly matters. For our viewers, thank you for watching Real Estate Profits. Remember, every step you take in real estate can be one step closer to freedom and legacy if you do it with intention. I'm Griselda Abusleman, and we'll see you next time here on Now Media Television.